David played and pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fourth.
And welcome. Thank you for listening today. This is Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. I'm Katharina Vitti, and we have a guest speaker here, Jay Asparo. And I'm just so happy that he's able to come today and share his extraordinary story of his journey of faith with God and through his family, and the extraordinary feat of running and the 90-mile run, which we're going to get to in a little bit. A little spoiler, a little cliffhanger. But I'm Katharina Vitti. And if you'd like to call in today, our call-in number is 631-888-8811. And the text-in number is 516-784-6081. And you could listen online as well at am1240wgbb.com or on Facebook Live. And we'd love to hear from you. Anything, if you know the story inspires you, or if you have questions, anything, please feel free to call in, to text in. We'd love to hear from you. And so let's just jump into it. We have Jay here. How would you like to start? Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
First, I just want to say thank you for having me. I'm very humbled and blessed to be here today and to be able to share my story. I just really appreciate this opportunity to talk about my family, talk about the 90-mile run, and also my faith journey, because it's been an interesting journey for myself. But so that's why I'm really excited to be here today.
Oh, great. I mean, I was just telling my sister today, too. Amanda's here as well, videoing.
Hi.
And I was just thinking, that's just so inspiring and so incredible. 90 miles, that's a long run, and the training that it took. I'm sure you'll be mentioning that in a little bit, but just that in itself, I like the shirt that you have on. It's a blue shirt that says Faith Over Fear. And we were just briefly mentioning that before coming in today, but just tell us a little bit about I guess that idea.
So the 90 miles, it only comes about through my faith. So first, I guess it's a best way to talk about my faith journey. Mm-hmm. So you know, growing up as an Italian Irish boy, you know, the church was very influential in our homes, and we always went to church on Sundays, and we had our sacraments and, you know, baptism, communion, confirmation, and it was always a family gathering and party. And my grandmother, who is so instrumental in my life and the matriarch of our family, I always remember going to her apartment in Brooklyn, and there was crosses and she had her rosaries, and she always went to church on Sundays, but she would also go during the week, which I always thought, like, who goes to church during the week? but it just really laid like a very good foundation for myself, and I think the rest of our family. So I had that in my life, and then I was in public school. And then for high school, I wanted to follow my brother, and he was at Kellenberg Memorial High School, which is now a Catholic high school. And it was different for me because now I was wearing a uniform every day, and you know, really having church, Jesus, God in my everyday life through school. We always say prayers in the morning before we started our day of classes, and we would always, during certain holidays, and you know, we would have mass every day at school as well. So that really was a nice foundation. But after school, at high school, I went to a college, and I had a soccer scholarship. And while in attending college, I was playing soccer, and unfortunately, the experience for me then was not a very good experience. Unfortunately, the coach, he was a very aggressive person, and you know, maybe he had done some things to some of the players on the team that it scared me. He didn't really hit anyone, but he was just very aggressive and throwing benches and getting in people's faces, and I felt very uncomfortable. But I was on a scholarship, and as I was there, I just... I wasn't doing all the right things. I just wanted to get through that year of playing soccer. And unfortunately, I failed out of school, and I had to come back home. And then I went into Nassau Community College, and then I went to Hofstra. I played soccer there. Then after college, I lived in New York City. I met my wife. We got married. And then we traveled. We had a daughter, Olivia. And about 3 years ago, I had a lot of things going on in my life that were very difficult. My house, we had a flood, and we were trying to fix the house. We had to live with my parents for 3 months. The job I was currently working at, they were trying to let me go and fire me, and I was trying to save my job. A good friend of mine wasn't feeling, he became ill, and it just felt like the whole world was crushing down on me. And I at that particular time, I was probably drinking a little too much, and things in my life were just getting very complicated, and I didn't know where to turn. And life was just pushing me down, and it literally knocked me on my knees. And I went back to church. I went in myself, and I just remember it was a day where it was just really raining, and I was soaking wet, and I haven't been to church. Because of all those things that had happened in my life, I gave up on faith, and I gave up on church. And when I was 23 years old, also, I will never forget this, I had a good friend of mine pass away from college. He got hit by a drunk driver and died. I had an uncle of mine. He passed away. I had another uncle of mine pass away, and then my grandfather passed away in 1 year. And I lived that year at wakes, funerals, hospitals, and I felt like, God, why would you be putting my family through all this pain? I give up on my faith, and I said, that's it. So I gave up. And that's when I decided I'm no longer going to be a faith. But fast forward to 3 years ago, I wasn't going to church at all during holidays. And 3 years ago, I needed to go back to Christ and God because I needed help. And there was nowhere else I could turn to. And I started building a relationship with Jesus Christ and God that moment. And I started to see it build. So the greatest thing I've ever done, it's not about church or religion for me. It's about building a relationship with Jesus Christ and God. And from that moment where things were so bad, I started to see from the relationship I had with Jesus Christ and God, the things in my life started to become better. I was a better husband. I was a better father. I was a better person to other people. And ever since then, my faith is so important. It's everything to me. So, you know, that's kind of very quickly my faith journey.
That foundation.
Yes.
Yeah. When you walked into the church, I just had a question. Was there, like, did you feel that God was telling you anything, or like it was just kind of like, how were you inspired just to walk into the church in that moment?
I was, because there was nowhere else I felt I could go. I don't know why. It was a lot of things just coming down. I just didn't know where to turn. And I guess that foundation, it was so strong from earlier. And
it was like instinctively kind of like, okay, I'm going to find my rest here. I'm just going to go and know that I'll be in a safe place, like that kind of feeling.
Yes.
Right?
And I wanted guidance. Mm-hmm. I needed help, because I was trying to fix all these things mm-hmm. on my own, and I just couldn't do it. So mm-hmm. that was going there, and just, I said, I cannot do this on my own anymore. Mm-hmm. I need your help. And, you know, I give you my mind, eyes, ears, mouth, heart, body, and soul to you, Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Father Almighty. And since I said those words, I started to see it didn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm. Slowly.
Slowly. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, it's one of those things mm-hmm. for me, it's building a relationship. So if you have a best friend, if you keep asking from that best friend for things, eventually that best friend's like, all right, well, this is not a relationship. You keep asking and asking and asking. For things for me. So I felt, in order for me to build a relationship with God and Jesus Christ, I'm asking for all this help. Well, then I needed to be a better person, and I had to live what Jesus wanted me to live. Mm-hmm. And I have to build a relationship with him through prayer and going to church, because that's the best way to build a relationship with Jesus Christ and God. And pray every day, and pray for the things that I have in my life and the blessings I have, and not always asking for things. Mm-hmm. So to be thankful.
So from 23 to about 3 years ago, there was that period of not going to church. And then from 3 years ago, it's just been steady, and just every Sunday, and just
yes.
going to Mass during the week. I know you mentioned,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Because that's, I think the only way you build a relationship is spending time, right? Mm-hmm. You have to give your time. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. So I always, if I have time during the week, I'll go at 8:45 Mass at St. Pius. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, through all this, also going to church, my pastor, Father Valentine, he saw me there and asked if I would be a lector. And never did I ever think I'd be a lector. And again, it's taking chances, as we discussed earlier. I was nervous. I'm like, how can I stand in front of everyone and speak the gospel? And he asked me. So I said, I know Jesus Christ and God will be with me, so I have to say yes. And this is another avenue to build a stronger relationship with Christ and God. So I said yes. Mm-hmm. And I've been a lector now coming on 2 years in December.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's another dimension of growing in your faith as well, because I think there's just blessings that we don't understand, or just... like you said, speaking to the congregation, and you have to read the passage beforehand. And it's just, I guess that's an invitation, like you're saying, that God extended to you to get closer to him in that different way. So that's amazing. That's really good. I thought of that as well, because I became a Eucharistic minister in high school, in 12th grade, and was really blessed. And just sometimes when I'm distributing the precious body of Christ, it's different. You almost feel more connected or like Jesus in a way, because you're so close to his body, and just handing it out to the people. And it's really beautiful feeling.
Yes. And it's just like you said, you're becoming closer to God and Jesus Christ, and that's just an amazing feeling. Mm-hmm. And that relationship is something that I cherish every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets me through every day. And one of the great things through the running and through my faith, I've been able to have talks and speak to young youth, and we speak. And one of the greatest questions I had at one of the talks was, you know, where would you be today without your faith? And it really struck home with me. I'm like, you know, I think if I didn't have my faith today, I wouldn't be as in such peace. Like, I have peace every day because I know anything that comes my way, good or bad, it's because God is giving it to me. And, you know, what is impossible for man is possible for God. So I just know anything that comes my way, he's with me. And I have faith because of the relationship I have with him. Mm-hmm. And peace. Because 3 years ago, when I was going through all that turmoil, mm-hmm. there was no peace that I had. But today, anything that comes my way that's difficult, I'm at peace. I just know God's with me. So,
that's really inspiring. That's like what your shirt is saying: faith over fear. That's greater, yeah. And that God is greater than anything, and that He's with us and He loves us. So
yes,
that's amazing.
It is. It really is.
And mention to us how the running started, and did that start 3 years ago, and just yep. tell us about the faith and that.
So I ran the New York City Marathon in 2015, and it was something that was always a dream of mine to do. And after I ran the New York City Marathon, I was very inspired, and one of the great things with faith and my running is when I run, I'm going out for, you know, hour to 2 hour run. So I have a lot of time with myself and I pray. And after the marathon, I went for a 6 mile run. And as I was praying, there's five things I live by. It's God, family, work, running, and friends. Everything outside of that is a distraction to me. So as I was on this 6 mile run, I was like, what can I do next? I want to encompass all those things. The first thing that came to my mind was family. And my grandmother, unfortunately, had been suffering and still is from Alzheimer's. And it was something that really took a toll on our family, especially my mom and dad, my aunt and uncle, who are the sole caregivers for my grandmother. And, you know, just to talk about how important my grandmother is to our family and how she is the matriarch, she has three sons who married three amazing women. She has seven grandchildren and 13 great-grandchildren. And my grandmother is about faith, family, and love. And just to talk about the love that she had for her family is, if you were to line everyone up in our family, and you would, you know, the question would be, point to the person your grandma loves the most, we would all point to ourselves, because that's the type of love that she showed and how important she is to everybody. So she was going through a difficult time as my family. And as I'm running and I'm praying, I thought, I want to run in my grandmother's name in honor for her for Alzheimer's, raise awareness. And I just didn't think like a half marathon or a marathon would bring a big enough platform to talk about my grandmother and the disease. So at that particular time, I was watching a lot of ultra marathon documentaries, and there were three gentlemen who ran across the Sahara, and they ran two marathons a day for 111 days. Now, I had that in the back of my head, but in no way was I going to run for 111 days. So, I'm on a 6 mile run. I have to run for my grandmother for Alzheimer's. I want to do something more than a marathon, and the documentaries were inspiring me. So the next thought was, I love Long Island. How do I get my faith involved? My wife and my kids, we vacation in Montauk for my birthday every summer. And I've attended Mass at St. Teresa of Lessex Church in Montauk. And I'm running and I'm thinking, maybe I can run from the church in Montauk to my parish in Plainview. And I was like, I think I could do that. And then it was like a whisper, or I don't know, it popped in my head, the number 90. And my grandmother was 90 years old at the time, and it was like a whisper. And that was it. As I'm running, I said, I'm going to run from St. Teresa Church in Montauk to St. Pius Parish in Plainview, but I'll only do it if it's 90 miles. So I finished the run. I go home, and I Google map the two churches, and it was 89.7 miles from church to church. So I know God has a sense of humor, because it wasn't 90 exactly, but it was 89.7 miles, and that's mm-hmm. when I said, I need to do this, and I'm going to run 90 miles from St. Teresa Church in Montauk to St. Pius in Plainview for my grandmother and in honor of my grandmother for Alzheimer's.
That's incredible. And just what you were saying before, that God allows us to do the impossible with Him, with His grace. And I'm thinking that now, and I try to go to the gym, you know, I try to be fit, but just, wow, 90, that's such a big number. It seems like an impossible feat. And just, you know, God gave you the inspiration, the courage, the grace to train and to prepare to be able to run, and out of love for your family and your grandmother, and so that a cure can be found to raise money. So tell us how you trained to prepare for this, and how the fundraising got involved. Yep. With this. And
so I'll take you through that year. And again, prayer. So you can't, if prayer and training got me through the run. Like if I could not do the 90 miles without training really hard, and I couldn't do the 90-mile run without prayer. They both go hand in hand. So hard work and prayer work got me through this. And so the thing was, in December of 2015, I wanted to tell my family that I was doing this for them. And that was the first place I went. And I told my family, I want to run 90 miles for grandma in honor. And I did it one by one at Christmas. And, you know, it's... I've done a lot of things in my life, and some of it has failed. So for me to go up to people in my family and say, I'm going to run 90 miles in honor of grandma, it's really hard to believe, like, okay, well, why don't you take a step back and just go visit her? And you don't have to run 90 miles. And I understood, like, it sounds a little crazy, but I just had this, my heart just felt like it was the right thing to do. And it was all in love for my grandmother and family. So that was the first place I went. Then I went to see Father Valentine at St. Pius and tell him, you know, I want to run from St. Teresa Church to our church. He's like, Jay, that's great. We'll be there for you. And then I went into the Long Island Alzheimer's Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization who have programs for families who are going through Alzheimer's right now. They have respite programs. They have memory fitness programs. So I met with them and I said, I know my grandmother is not in your program. She's at Parker Jewish Nursing Home. But I want to raise money for your foundation in honor of my grandmother. And they said, Jay, we'll support you. So it was. So that's how it all started. And then I reached out to a running store and someone working there to see if they had any running coaches. And I was able to meet Alex Arslan, who is part of a running company. And I had a coach. And he put a plan together. So now I was ready. He put a plan. I started training. I started running. And things were going pretty good for the first half of 2016. And I was training pretty hard, doing the right things. And then in June, it was a particularly hot week. And I was very dehydrated. And I was trying to take water in. And one evening, it was 3 a.m. in the morning. My dog wanted to go out. So I got up really fast. I went down to the kitchen. I let my dog Oscar out. And as I turned around, I started to see white dots. And next thing you know, I woke up and I was on the floor. And I had passed out due to dehydration. And when I lifted my head up, it was just, unfortunately, blood coming out of my face. And it was hitting the tile. And I got up. I let the dog in. I went down to the basement. And I looked at my eye. And it just wasn't going to be like a Band-Aid to put over this. I was going to have to go to the hospital. But the tough part about all this is that morning, or that afternoon, I was going to my niece's christening, and I was going to be the godfather. And this was a time where I was going to tell my family about all the progress I was having that first half of the year with training and some local media about the Long Island Alzheimer's Foundation and talking about my grandmother. And I had to go to the hospital at 3 a.m., and I needed to be in New York City at 12 p.m. for the christening to be there to be the godfather of my niece. So my wife and I, we went to the emergency room at Plainview Hospital, and it was a very difficult time because I know, like, my wife, she lost her dad when she was 18, and I could see her looking at me as if, like, he's hurting himself, like, and I wasn't. I just knew I was doing the right thing, but I was just dehydrated. And I was just laying there, and the doctor came in. They took all the tests, my heart, everything was healthy. It was just I was dehydrated. But my family had to go into the city and be there for the christening. So everyone left, and I was just laying on the bed. And normally in the past, if my faith wasn't with me, I probably would have said, why me? Why me? And all I just asked for God that day was, like, give me strength to get through this. Like, just help me get through this day. Somehow or another, I talked to my friend. He got me a car service and got me into the city. I got to the christening. Unfortunately, when you fall on your face, it blows up. And I had 20 stitches under my eye. But I was there. I was there for my niece, Reagan. I was there for my brother, my sister-in-law. And that was the most important. But I could see my family were worried about me. And that was very difficult because they didn't want me to hurt myself. They thought I would, because when you're training for 90 miles, it's not like a marathon or anything else. No one knows of people how you train. So, you know, that was really difficult, but I just prayed really hard. And I knew God had me on the right path. So from that moment on, I knew there was two things I could do. I could quit and do what everybody, you know, thinks I should be doing, or I could just keep with my faith, keep with God, and just work harder at getting this accomplished for my grandmother, my family, and then the support and everyone will come from, you know, doing the right thing. So then after that, I hired a nutritionist. I was eating right. I was drinking all the proper fluids. I really took my training into even further. I was doing cryotherapy. I was going to physical therapy. I really stepped up my training and prayer, and like a lot of prayer. And
you took it to the next level.
Yes.
And also, I had a question about when you pray. I know you said you pray when you run. Is there a particular prayer that you say, or just you try to listen to God speak to you? How do you? This is just a question.
Yes.
I had.
Every day, my prayer is, thank you, God, for my beautiful wife, Allison, my beautiful daughter, Olivia, and my son, Shane. Shane's name, it means God's gracious gift, because we were having a difficult time getting pregnant, and I just prayed to God that she would get pregnant. She did. Then my next prayer was for a boy. I really wanted a boy. He heard my prayer, and that's why I said, you know, I want to name him Shane, God's gracious gift. So every day it's, thank you for my beautiful wife, Allison, my beautiful daughter, Olivia, my son, Shane. I give you my mind, eyes, ears, mouth, heart, body, and soul to you, Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Father Almighty. Every day that's what I say. And then particularly some days, if I want to pray for a friend or a family member, I say my prayers for them. And I'm just thankful. Every day I'm just thanking him for the life he's given me. And I'm blessed every single day with all the things I have in my life. So
that's amazing. Oh, thank you. Thank you for sharing in such a simple way. You know,
yes.
The prayer. That's awesome. So we're going to actually take a little break now, and we're going to come back and continue speaking about the 90-mile run. And Jay's journey with that. So keep listening.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of death. Light, morning star, so strong and bright, gentle mother, peaceful dove, teach us wisdom, teach us love. Chosen by the Father, you were chosen for the Son, you were chosen.
morning star, so strong and bright, gentle mother, peaceful dawn, teach us wisdom, teach us love, blessed are you.
Thank you for listening. And again, this is Listen Up, Jesus is on the Air. And we have J.S. Sparrow talking about his 90-mile run in honor of his grandmother who has Alzheimer's, and to raise money for the Long Island Alzheimer's Foundation, a nonprofit organization. And if you feel inspired to donate as well, or to contribute, or if you would like to speak or text in or call in on the show today, please feel free. We'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number here is 631-888-8811. And the text in is 516-784-6081. We'd love to hear from you again. And so let's jump right back into it. And I was just mentioning to Jay before during our break, beautiful song to the Blessed Mother, so that she could help us as well and guide us through life and teach us wisdom and give us, help us get closer to her son, Jesus. I thought of the prayer St. Faustina said. She wrote in her diary that she would ask the Lord for grace. She would say, Lord, help my, may my eyes always be merciful. May my hands always be merciful. May my feet always be merciful and quick to serve you and to help others. So I was reminded of that prayer that St. Faustina said, because that's essentially what Jay would pray when, as he's running, or just every morning, say, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the blessings. And may I give my total self to you, and may I be merciful and do your will. And that's just such a beautiful, simple, and great prayer. And for his guidance along in this 90-mile journey. So let's continue. So you were preparing for the 90-mile run, and slowly you were gaining support, like mm-hmm. you said, media attention on Long Island, yep. and your family's support. You were improving in your run, and just tell us a little bit about the run itself. Yep. How much you raised, and just kind of how that kind of came about.
Yeah. So with the support of the community and St. Pius, Family Bagels of Plainview, we were able to raise $38,000 for the Long Island Alzheimer's Foundation. And the greatest thing about those 3 days was that my family was with me every 5 miles along the 90 miles. That was like the best thing. And I know that my grandmother would be like so happy that we were all together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another reason why I do all this, is because she just loved when we were all always together. And that was another goal of mine, is to do this to keep us all together and just have an excuse to not holiday or anything else, but for us to come together. And it was just amazing. Like every 5 miles there you had a spot and holding signs. It was just great for my family. And the other great thing is that when I started that journey, it was like, if I could run and bring my family together, maybe one other family, that my goal is set. But through all of the publicity and all the great media stuff, you know, and through the parish and the church, for every mile I ran of those 90 miles, I dedicated it to a family who's either suffered through Alzheimer's or currently suffering through Alzheimer's. So it got so much bigger than I ever thought it was going to be. So not only did it help, I think, my own family, but other families as well. And, you know, the first day I ran from St. Teresa Church to Shinnecock Golf Course, which was 29.4 miles. And I had a couple of my cousins run with me that day for a couple of miles, which was so special, and got me through it because it was a difficult day. And the second day, I started in Hampton Bays at St. Rosalie's Church, and I ran 31.2 miles, and I ended at Our Lady of Snow in Blue Point, and that was 31.2 miles. And the last day, I ran from Our Lady of Snow to St. Pius, which was 29.4 miles. And my faith was so important because I was trying to encompass getting to different churches along the way, and I had masses every morning before I went on those runs, which just gave me extra strength. So it was
beautiful.
An amazing, amazing 3 days. And when I finished at St. Pius, we had about maybe 150 to 200 people there, which was more than I could ever imagine. And it was just an amazing 3 days.
Oh, they were all cheering you on as you finished. That's so special. And I'm sure that made you feel so special. And I mean, honestly, as you were mentioning, I think there's so many spiritual blessings and just that you were praying for families that you didn't even know that were suffering. I think that's very loving and compassionate. And I'm sure that I know that didn't go to waste, you know, that your physical exertion, but also it's just all a win-win situation, you know?
Yep.
And I was just curious, I know this is like a fundraising question, but did people pledge a certain amount of money for every mile that you ran, or how was it? Was it like sponsorships?
It was whatever people felt they wanted to donate.
They would come support, and then there at that event, they would
They would go to the annasparrowrun.com. That was a website that I have talking about why I was doing the run last year, what the route was, and there was a donation link that they would click on that would go to the Long Island Alzheimer's Foundation, and they could donate there. Some people would donate $1 a mile for the 90 miles, which was so generous. Which is $90 is a lot of money. Or even $1. It all goes such a long way for their programs. So as for the donations, it's just whatever anyone felt like donating. I wanted them to donate, and they're all a part of it. When you donate, you're a part of the run and my run, and you're a part of the journey. So
your prayers as well. You're praying for the donors as well all the time. And so is that website currently up and running as well?
It is mm-hmm. up and running.
Okay, can you mention that again for our listeners?
Yes.
It's
www.theannasparrowrun.com.
Okay, cool.
And because of last year's 90 mile run and the amount of money we were able to raise and just reach out and raise awareness for the foundation, this year I had to do something else. I felt like I needed to keep the journey going to help Mm-hmm. And again, everything needs to be assigned. So this year I said to myself, I'm going to run 50 miles in one day. I think I could run from Jones Beach to the Theodore Roosevelt Park in Oyster Bay. There is a Long Island, Greater Long Island Running Club who has this 50-mile run, but it's an 8-person relay. So for me, I'm thinking I'll just run it by myself to raise awareness. But that just didn't seem like there was meaning behind it. So I was thinking about that, and then there's the New York City Marathon. And it's 26.2 miles, and that's something that my grandparents always liked because they lived in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, and they would always talk about the runners, and they would go and watch them. So I said, maybe I could run the 50 miles with the New York City Marathon the next day, but it has to have, it's 75 miles, but there has to be meaning. And I reached out to my mom, and I asked my mom, you know, this year, 2017, what year would this would have been for our grandparents' anniversary? And my grandfather passed away a couple years ago. And she said it would have been their 75th wedding anniversary. So when she said that, I knew I had to do the 75 miles in 2 days in honor of what would have been my grandparents' 75th anniversary, but doing it for Alzheimer's. And so this year...
That's so beautiful, because you'll also be praying for your grandfather who... passed away as well, so
yes,
you know, that's
and I know they're looking out for me, and they're with me, and spiritually when I run, I know they're there with me. So yeah, I'm very excited about the 75 miles, and you know, that's what I'm training for right now.
Oh, great. So when is that scheduled runs going to take?
So Saturday, November 4th, I'll be running 48.8 miles. And then on Sunday, November 5th, I'll be running the New York City Marathon, which will be 26.2 miles.
Wow. So we got those points in there. Does it exactly match up to 75?
Yes, it does.
Oh, cool. Well, that's so, so extraordinary. And I know you were mentioning to me before that recently you have some ankle trouble, and you've been praying and just kind of taking it easy, and you really hope to be back in shape before, you know, November. So just tell us a little bit about that.
Okay.
Related to your faith and Padre Pio too.
Yes.
Of course.
So I was really introduced to St. Padre Pio last year from a friend of mine, Michelle Mascolo from St. Pius, as I was training and I was having some difficulty. She would say, Jay, just pray, hope, and don't worry. And it was just something that I've always
stuck with.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I always say it, and I still live that, pray, hope, and I don't worry. And this year when I started out in 2017, I was in great running shape. In the first 3 months, I felt great. And, you know, with a lot of long distance running like this, other parts of your body start to break down a little, your hips, knees, and ankles. But I know how to take care of my body. And I went on a trail run in the woods, and I was 2 miles into a trail run in the first week of April. And unfortunately, 2 miles in, I stepped on a branch, and I rolled my ankle really bad. But I ran 8 more miles. And then that week, I ran 40 more miles.
Oh,
just,
gosh. Uh-huh.
Just keep going.
Just keep going. Just keep swimming.
Yeah, just keep it moving. And then there was an issue. It was a lot of pain. I went to the doctor, and I had to stay off from running for like 6 weeks. But I prayed, and I just prayed for guidance. I prayed, you know, for patience, which I don't always have, and strength. And then I started learning about, you know, swimming and biking, and I started doing that instead. And I started, you know, after 6 weeks, I started running again, but now I implemented biking and swimming, low impact type of training. And now I'm getting healthier. And, you know, I have St. Padre Pio oil, and I take that because, you know, seeing a healing, and I put it on my ankle every day.
Uh-huh.
And I go to physical therapy. But I really believe, really negative, but God was there. Like, I stepped on that branch for a reason. And I think God put it there, because now my training has taken on a different type of training of swimming, biking, and now like my hips and other joints. I'm even doing hot yoga now, which I've never thought I would ever do. And
You're trying something new.
Chances. I'm taking these chances, and they're all helping. And I think God is saying, like, this is how we're going to get you through the 75 miles. You need to do these other type of trainings and not just running. So open that up to, yeah, so that branch, you know, every day I don't ever say why, but I think he put it there for a reason, and that's going to get me through this run.
And tell us about the little story you were mentioning to me the other night in preparation of today's show about you had to do the swimming marathon and then the biking marathon in order to prepare, but you weren't sure if you should do it, and then God gave you another sign. Tell us about that. I thought that was really cool.
So so I pray every day, and like I said, I give you my mind, eyes, ears, mouth, heart, body, and soul to you, Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Father Almighty. Ever since I started saying that, he becomes more in your life. So ever since I started saying that, when I'm in a car, I always look at other people's cars, and in their rearview mirror, I always see a cross. I never saw it before I started saying that prayer. I see it every day, so I know he's with me. So I say that prayer, and 2 weeks ago, I wanted to run. We were in Long Beach Island vacationing, and I wanted to run 18 miles. I wanted to run from one end of the island to the other. But my ankle wasn't very healthy, and it wasn't healthy yet, and I wasn't running at that distance yet. But it was a goal of mine to run it months ago. And then now that I'm biking, I was thinking maybe I'll bike 5 miles and I'll run 13 miles. And that could be doable. And we're going on vacation, and as we're coming up, I didn't know what to do. Should I run 18? Should I bike 5? Run 13? So I went to Mass on Saturday evening in Long Beach Island, and I'm sitting there. And the next day I was going to do this venture. And I just prayed to God. I said, please just, should I run 18? Am I going to hurt myself more, or should I bike 5, run 13? And I'm like, please give me a sign. And after I said the prayer, I was looking around the church, and I'm not seeing anything. And then I look at the hymn board, and one of the hymns was 5:13. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to bike 5, and I'm running 13. And that was him telling me not to run the 18, do the 5 bike, and run 13. And it was a great day, and I got through it.
Oh, great. Yeah. I mean, I know God not always all the time speaks to us in signs, but if we're aware and we're looking out and we're asking him for help, he'll do those funny little signs. I love it. Because like other people, they wouldn't understand, but for you personally, you knew what that meant, and you were like, oh, haha, thanks, yes, God. And then you walked out of the church, and you were like, yes, you know, you knew what to do.
Yep.
So that's really exciting. That's amazing.
I tell you, this happens to me a lot. And I'm so grateful for it. If you're not willing to look or hear, then you won't find it. Mm-hmm. I have another story of last year when I was training, and I was going through a very difficult time, and I didn't think I was going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in medical sales. My territory is Brooklyn, and I'm in the car, and I was struggling. I'm like, I don't think I could do it. And I'm driving in one of the not the best areas of Brooklyn, mm-hmm, and I'm at a red light, and I look across the red light, and there's an auto body shop. And there is a big sign on the wall of the auto body shop, mm-hmm, that says, "What is impossible for man is possible for God." And it just like it, it all hit again. And I'm like, I could do this. I just got to pray. And, you know, I got through it. And it got me through that moment and that day and that doubt. Mm-hmm. And it's changed my life.
That's amazing. Like, you know, logically for us, like humanly, it's like, what, like how is that sign like just randomly in the auto body shop? But that's just another testimony of God's love right there to help you through. Just it's possible with him, and it's like that saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I had a question. So this year, your goal is the 75-mile run that we were mentioning before. And do you have a set goal for the money that you wanted to raise, or just very open, kind of?
Very open. I would like to raise more than last year. Last year, it was like $37,333 exactly. Mm-hmm. I'd like to do that or more.
Mm-hmm.
And the other goal of this year too, though, money is great. Money helps the programs. But what I'm also trying to do is to raise awareness about the programs for the Long Island Alzheimer's Foundation to get families involved into those programs. If those that are caretakers and they don't know where to turn, I want to try to raise awareness through media for this run to let them know there's a place for them. They're not alone. They are great people at the Long Island Alzheimer's Foundation. I mean, the social workers, Tori Cohen, the executive director, Christine Rice, Nancy Leghart, they're all great people that they want to help. Mm-hmm. It's just making awareness how to get into the programs. That's my main goal this year, is to get more people involved into the programs. Mm-hmm. And then the money will follow.
Right. Yeah, that's so true, because you don't want to feel alone, and you want to tell people, hey, like, I was helped, you know, my family, we're struggling through this too. And this place is just such a great resource. It has been for our family. And we just want you to know, hey, you know, this exists for you. And also just the faith being incorporated in there as well is really great testimony. It's like evangelizing through that.
Yes.
As well, because not everybody learned about Jesus or know who he is. And that's a great combination, and just a very relaxed, fun way, you know, watching somebody run. It's like, okay, I'm part of it too, you know. So
yes, and that's the thing, is that I'm always when I'm running, I'm running for my family and everyone else's family that's gone through Alzheimer's or currently going through Alzheimer's, and it's difficult. It's really a struggle. But if I just give them hope that there's someone out there that knows what they're going through and is doing this for them, I'm doing it for everyone who's had to live or currently living through this disease. So if I just give a little hope, I'll do all the training. I'll run all the hours just so they could have that.
That little bit of sunshine, right?
Yes.
That little bit of hope. Oh, that's amazing. Let's talk a little bit more about Padre Pio. And I know you mentioned your friend told you about Padre Pio, and do you have any other reasons why he's one of your favorite saints? And
well, it's really just the pray, hope, don't worry.
It's just that. Mm-hmm.
It is my life. Someday I could worry a lot every day. With the things that I'm doing, and you know, I have
the decisions, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so that's pray, hope, don't worry. And that's what gets me through the days, gets me through the training, and keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm. I like the second part of that quote too. It's kind of like a longer quote that Padre Pio said, pray, hope, and don't worry. And then the second part is, worry is useless. God is merciful and we'll hear your prayers. Prayer is the best weapon we have. It's the key to God's heart. And I really like that too, because essentially it kind of wraps up like what we're discussing today, because prayer is the weapon to fight the evil one, of course, but to help us keep going. Don't worry is like what God is always telling us, like, do not fear, do not worry. Like in the Bible, God is always telling us, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. But what do? We fear like 100 times a day. And we always have to, I guess, keep asking God for strength, you know, through that. But yeah, and it's the key to God's heart. And I also just wanted to mention that Padre Pio is a big fan of the rosary. And I just would highly recommend, I mean, me personally, I do struggle with the rosary a little bit because I get distracted. But I know that it's a very powerful weapon, and it's very simple, a way to meditate on the scriptures. And I would just recommend to our listeners to just try little by little to say the rosary, get into it, because it is a plethora of blessings that will come from it. And the Blessed Mother, like I was mentioning, she'll take us by the hand to Jesus through saying that prayer, through her help. So those are just the couple of things I thought to in my mind that came.
So. And I want to thank you for giving me a rosary today. It means a lot, and I really
oh, no problem.
I'm going to cherish that, so thank you.
Oh, no problem. Yeah. So we have a couple of minutes here, so we're just going to end with a little prayer, and then go to our ending song. So So we'll just say a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I just want to say thank you, God, for this day and for this extraordinary story and sharing today of Jay's story, and that may all who come to listen to it may be inspired and blessed and may journey closer to you and get closer to you and to know your love and to experience just that hug that you want to give us of love. And may he and the Alzheimer's Foundation continue to be blessed, and may all those struggling through that with that disease and the families may have comfort, support, strength, and love. And we also pray for all the listeners, for everyone here at the radio station, for the guests, for everyone involved here, that we may be blessed and continue this mission. And may all those who may not know you come to know who you are and your love and your blessings, and that you wish well for us. And we ask all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So thank you, listeners. Thank you, Jay, again for coming. God bless you and have a great weekend.
Let us live our lives so that all might see that our hearts are restless till they rest in thee. Let us build your kingdom in truth and grace, so that all might know they have a rightful place. Beauty ever ancient and new, breaking through our deafness so we hear you, shattering the darkness of night. A new dawn is rising to bring your light to all the world. Let us live our lives so that all might see that our hearts are restless till they rest in thee. Let us build your kingdom in truth and grace so that all might know they have a rightful place. Presence we came to be one in spirit and truth and name, strengthened by the body of Christ, taking up the call now to share your life.